This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Okay. Good afternoon. And thank you for listening to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. I am Jenny White, and tonight what we're talking about is how do you navigate menopause successfully? How do you do it? It's a natural biological process. As women approach their late 30s, the ovaries start producing less estrogen and progesterone. The hormones that regulate menstruation and fertility begins to decline. At the age of 40, women may notice periods becoming more erratic and less frequent. By the age of 51, on the average, the ovaries eventually stop releasing eggs and periods stop altogether. So we have a guest today who is going to talk to us about how to navigate menopause successfully. So here we are with Miss Elaine. How you doing?
I'm good, Jenny. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So you want to start off by telling us a little bit about who you are?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, let me thank you for having me on your show and for being
here. Very welcome.
And being able to wellness, specifically around the topic of importance for women to know that there is a way that we can naturally navigate menopause, and I emphasize naturally. So as Jenny said, my name is Eileen. I'm Eileen Franco. I'm a former PMP and program manager. I worked in corporate America for 36 years up until 2019. Back in 2017, the organization I worked for at the time was going through major reorganization, and many were being let go. I was fortunate enough to stay, but they kept bouncing me in and out of departments as a project manager for various initiatives. So it was a stressful 2 years. I tried to leave the organization at the time, but the job market was not in my favor. So I applied for a job internally and stepped into a new role in 2019 as a program manager. But at the same time that I stepped into that new role, and in the same month, weeks later, my body transitioned into perimenopause and chaos began. Yet, the symptoms were debilitating. I had severe brain fog. I couldn't remember things. I couldn't retrieve things that I knew.
Lack of focus
and concentration. I just could not focus. It was mostly confusion, severe fatigue. I was round the clock sweating, hot flashes, night sweat around the clock. I already wasn't sleeping well due to the stress that I was working since 2017, but it only got worse because I would wake up in the middle of the night and would not be able to go back to sleep. And I would go to work with only a few hours of rest. So those symptoms took a toll on me. The mornings were very difficult to get up with the fatigue, and I didn't function well. So in addition to that, with the brain fog, doubt and lack of confidence started to creep in, and it affected my work performance because training was a blur. I was confused all the time. And mind you, I was managing a program of 20 projects with a team size of 36 plus people. Very scary that I was going to forget communicating something very important to one of my colleagues. A lot of anxiety I was experiencing because I was just not functioning at my optimum best that I knew that I was capable of. All of a sudden, it's like everything that I knew as a project manager, I did not know. Like all those 15 years went out the window.
Okay.
And that was very scary. So I went to my doctor and asked her for some alternative options that is not medication. And she said that there was nothing she can do for me unless I wanted medication and to get used to it. That's the way my life was going to be going forward. As you can imagine, Jenny, my jaw just dropped because I was in shock at that response.
Right.
So I walked out of there with a fierce determination to find a natural alternative to my midlife crisis and solution to my symptoms that I was not going to continue to live with, because you cannot call that a life, living with those symptoms. But, you know, I was grateful to her because that set me on a rabbit hunt, and I went down several rabbit holes in search of natural solutions and became a guinea pig on trying all these natural solutions for my body and what would give me the support that my body needed at the time. And within weeks, I was able to bring most of these symptoms under control. And some of them were not as episodic. They became less frequent as before. Mental clarity started returning. But, you know, again, since the organization was under a lot of reorg, new leadership came in, and that sent me to short-term disability with anxiety, depression, chronic stress, fatigue, and insomnia, which are classic symptoms of menopause or perimenopause. Yes. So I was in short-term disability for 6 months, and during that time, I had to rebuild my health and continue to overcome the symptoms of that I was suffering through with perimenopause. So at the same time, I decided to recreate my career, and here I am. I became a certified holistic wellness coach to specifically help and empower corporate business women who are struggling through perimenopause and menopause symptoms with natural tools and strategies to overcome those symptoms, to lose the hormonal weight, to create a holistic, healthier lifestyle so they can recover their body and transform their well-being. That's me.
Okay. Well, I noticed that you hit the symptoms because they had hot flashes, trouble sleeping. What about that?
Yeah, well, I was out on insomnia. Absolutely. I had trouble sleeping. And there's a reason for that. There's a term that is really, it's known out there, but not recognized as a medical diagnosis, which is adrenal fatigue. And my chronic stress and insomnia are classic signs of adrenal fatigue, and I was experiencing that as well.
Yeah, and it also says irritability or mood changes, and I'm sure you had that.
Yeah.
Depression.
Yeah.
What about weight
and
gain?
I was out on that, yeah. Yeah,
weight
gain.
There's
a whole list of them.
Yeah. Slow
yeah.
metabolism.
I couldn't lose weight for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And I had unexplained weight gain, and I didn't know that. In hindsight, now I know it was because my body was already starting to transition into perimenopause.
Okay, well, we have a question right away. And I did not introduce my co-host, who is my son, too. And his name is Mr. Coleman. And Mr. Coleman, would you like to say
like
something?
Okay. Say something. Hi, Jenny White. Hi, Eileen. How are you doing?
Hello. Good. How are you, Mr. Coleman?
Good. Yes, Maceo. That's fine. You call me Maceo.
I'm sorry.
Saying,
what was that?
Maceo, that's my first name. Maceo.
Maceo.
Okay.
It sounds like there's...
Yeah, Maceo.
Yeah, there's an echo, so I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, my question is, you keep saying perimenopause, so that's the symptoms that you're experiencing before the full menopause? What exactly is that?
Yes, there's three stages that women go through, and it begins with the perimenopause stage, and then it progresses into menopause, and then postmenopause. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm sure that it can last varying times depending on the woman, so I'm sure it's depending on the person.
Well, absolutely. Now, usually, it can last up 4 to 10 years, where it can last 1 or 2 years. It really depends on the DNA, the woman's body, family history, all those factors.
Now, how old were you when you first started having the menopausal symptoms?
Well, usually women start when they're in the 40 plus to start experiencing perimenopause, but many women currently are experiencing their transition into perimenopause in their early 30s. I was in my 50s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there any such thing as menopause? Is any men going through it? Because I know it's a men out here acting like they're on their period.
Well, Mayso, I really don't, that's not my area of expertise, but I understand that they do go through some changes as well, but I don't have any knowledge as to how that occurs in men. I'm more familiar, and my expertise at the moment is just focusing on women. Hopefully, in the future, I can expand my knowledge into men experiencing body changes, because I'm sure we men also have hormones, and they definitely fluctuate. And the main hormone for men is testosterone, right? And women do have that as well, which helps with the libido and other body functions, but it's mostly prominent in men. But I can't speak to it because I don't know enough about it.
Well, no, I was really just playing with you about the men. But that's a good question that you bring up as far as libido. Now, with women going through these three stages of menopause, how does that affect most women's libido? And I know that it can be different for everybody, but does it make women more, whatever word you want to use, does it make women more horny at a certain point, or does it make women not interested in sex during certain periods of menopause? What are your studies? What have you found out in regards to that?
Well, what I can say is that during the stages that women go through, which is the perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, right? So what happens is that at the age of 30, progesterone, one of the main sex hormones, starts to decline. And progesterone is really your anti-anxiety hormone, right? It helps you, it helps you to calm the body down. It helps you to sleep. It helps you to lose weight, and it helps you to sleep, calm you. It regulates menstruation, and it helps in balancing hormones. But you know, that declines in every woman at the age of 30. As to what exact age, of course, that factors DNA. Then at the age of 40, estrogen, the main hormone, one of the other main sex hormones starts to decline when you're in your 40s. And that will take you on a roller coaster ride, right? Because the decline in estrogen really causes havoc in the body. And this is where a lot of women start experiencing all the crazy symptoms that many can go through, like what I just explained. And
okay.
The decline in progesterone and the decline in estrogen really puts a strain on most of the other body organs, like your liver, and won't provide you with the energy you need to, you know, that you would need every day. So your body will start malfunctioning. And, you know, we have an integrated body that's interconnected. And if one area is not functioning as expected, it's going to be a ripple effect and it's going to affect another area. So there are other factors that contribute to the low libido. It could be it's not only the transition, but it's also what's the strain on the other organs, what's happening with the central hormones operating system that I like to call it, the HPA axis, what's happening with the gut, what's happening in the brain. If none of those areas are in top health or best health as possible, that's going to contribute to low libido automatically. So definitely that's going to factor into a woman not having any desire to have any intimate relationship with her husband. And it's unfortunate because there has been a lot of fallout because of that. Many relationships are either break up or end up in divorce, and that's the sad part. I wish to find a study. I've been trying to looking for a study to start, but there's in forums that I participate. Many women have expressed that they've been having problems in their relationship, and I believe a lot of it has to do with not knowing what's going on in the body, really, to know how to handle it, and then in a team effort, help each other out.
Good. Now, do you work with women of all ages to kind of, it would really be women in their, women in their 30s and 40s and 50s would definitely be interested in this information, you know, not that it's necessarily passed along in regards to what to expect during menopause. You know, I don't know, maybe women communicate better with each other as far as what to expect, you know, by passing that information on to their daughters or, you know, other female family members.
No, absolutely. I work with women. My focus initially starting is working with women that are experiencing perimenopause and menopause symptoms to help them overcome it naturally. And empower them with the knowledge that they need in order to be able to know what to do in those circumstances and how to go about it. I have a group coaching program that specifically empowers women with this knowledge and how to bring back your body into balance, but in a holistic way. As a holistic wellness coach, I don't focus in one area. I look at the entire body as a whole, and I work and target all the places that we need to look for and we need to account for when in perimenopause or menopause. This way is a holistic approach, and the body can be in complete balance.
Very good. What are you have any questions, Jenny? Anything you wanted to ask?
No, I was just wanted to mention that when I was reading about it, it says that you should make sure that you get enough calcium and vitamin D to keep your bones strong. And they asked for you to quit smoking and limit alcohol use. It doesn't say what those things, you know, have to do with anything. So do you know about how they might interfere in your menopause? The quit smoking
absolutely.
And the, okay.
Yeah. So estrogen, like I mentioned, is there's three main sex hormones, which is estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Progesterone, I mentioned, is the anti-anxiety hormone. But you have estrogen, which is the primary one, and it protects you from cancer, prevents bone loss and fractures. It prevents your cardiovascular disease. It prevents Alzheimer's and dementia and depression, right? This is why it's very important that women, when they're going through perimenopause, address the symptoms and not disregard it. And I have statistics on that. Let me know if you care to know what those are.
Yes, I'm interested.
Women, but going back to your original question, when women don't address perimenopause or menopause symptoms, they are at a higher risk for these diseases and osteoporosis and Alzheimer's and dementia. So if you don't address these symptoms, then you're prone to getting osteoporosis, Alzheimer's, dementia, and God forbid, there's an increase of the cancer. So this is why they recommend, you know, those calcium supplements and specifically the vitamin D's and these, more natural supplements as well to help keep the body functioning at its optimum best.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't know that. And they also said, you know, do a lot of exercise. Just keep at it, active. And,
yes,
you know, of course, you get advice from your doctor. But that's really interesting. The vitamin D, okay, mm-hmm. I can understand that. Okay, but mm-hmm. a lot of people mm-hmm. don't drink milk. I'm sure you get it other places. But that's go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jen.
That's okay. No, I was just going to say that vitamin D would be my main, you know, support. That's the only one I would do.
Vitamin D along with vitamin K, because it's better absorption for your bones. And to be honest, there's been study done on milk. And really, milk has been shown not to really do much for you, especially because these cows are injected with hormones, and these hormones are just going to cause havoc in your body, the additional hormones.
Okay, well, I really needed to hear that now.
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, the milk, you know, these are studies that have been articles that I have been reading, and it really doesn't do anything for your bones, to be honest, which is what they're selling you, drink milk for your bones. Milk really doesn't do anything for your bones, and you have to be very careful because, like I said, these cows are injected with added hormones and many, God knows what else, that we are ingesting in our bodies. I know that when I stopped drinking milk, I no longer had acne, and my hormones were able to be more balanced because I was doing without it.
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
Yeah,
I have another listener that wants to ask you a question or make a statement. Good evening.
Good
this
evening.
This is TC.
Everybody. Yes, ma'am.
How you doing?
Milk wasn't. I'm doing great.
Okay.
What about like almond milk and coconut milk and stuff like that? Does that make that big of a difference? You know, because it's not from a cow, or is it just the pasteurization of those type of milks may cause a problem?
Yeah, well, I believe that the almond milk, oat milk, anything that's plant-based or nut-based is much healthier for you because these are more natural in nature versus cow milk that is being injected with additional ingredients that is just only going to create more havoc in your body. So it could be a combination of the process that they go through pasteurizing the milk and what's, you know, the content of the milk.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. Now, that was something that I didn't know.
Yeah, that, I recently read that in a research that I was doing about milk. I mean, I stopped milk a long time ago because of acne. Dairy tends to, you know, it's in general, really, it's dairy. So as you can, if you haven't noticed, there have been places now that they do, what do they call them? It's this cheese. I can't remember the name of it. It's not cheese made from dairy, but it's cheese made from something else. I can't think of it at the moment, but it's cheese that doesn't contain dairy, because dairy is, you know, you have to be very selective with it. You have to be very careful because of the added hormones.
Vegan cheese? Is it vegan cheese?
Excuse me?
Is it vegan cheese?
It could be vegan cheese. There's vegan cheese. There's a non-dairy cheese, they call it. There's one specific term for it. It's not coming to mind,
okay.
But yes, vegan cheese or non-dairy cheese that is doesn't contain dairy. And for us, women that are going through this in transition, we have to be very selective with what we're ingesting, because the added hormones in dairy is going to make more chaos, create more chaos in your body, because your hormones are out of whack and then you're bringing in outside hormones into your body. It's really not going to be a good combination.
That's it. Pretty interesting. So
yeah.
You were saying that that all of that may assist you in being having dementia when you're going through this.
Well, I was saying that the decline in estrogen can lead to Alzheimer's and dementia. And specifically, when it's talked about, if you're a person that's insulin resistant, right, if you have a high blood sugar level, your HbA1c is high, that most likely means you're insulin resistant. And it has, studies have shown in a recent study that I've done in research, studies have shown that insulin resistant and the decline of estrogen in the body can definitely lead to Alzheimer's and dementia. That has been the focus of that study. I don't have the study information of the study at the moment, but I can definitely share that at one point. But it really causes, because of the decline, you know, of the estrogen and the decline in estrogen leading to already the cancers and Alzheimer's. So if you, on top of that, have high blood sugar level, that's definitely going to complicate the situation, and it's going to be a precursor to diabetes, Alzheimer's, and dementia for sure.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Those are recent studies that were just, I just came across it. And, you know, these are, it's very important to really take care of our health when we're transitioning, at all times, to be honest with you, right? But
right.
We definitely want to make sure that once our body starts reaching midlife, because this applies mostly to, I would say applies to men and women too, that we have to all eat right and proper, because the older we're getting, our body is changing, and you need to find what's going to support your body and not increase your risk of any other disease that are out there. And unfortunately, there are reasons for the diseases that we're encountering, and a lot of that has to do with what we're eating and our environment. And, you know, and the decline, our body is changing, you know, and it's not going to be producing anymore any of these hormones. So we have to know why that is, what's the cause of it, what we can start to do to get ourselves into a better state of well-being.
That's a good idea. But a lot of us we don't know. And number one, you're not going to quit smoking if you've been smoking for a while and now you're going through menopause and you're getting angry and, you know, irritable and all of that. And you're really not going to put the cigarettes down and the alcohol either, probably. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't see them doing that. But is there medication or something that they have? I know you didn't want medication from the doctor. And so what did you do?
For me, I don't believe in medication, and I don't want to take medication, and I don't recommend medication because it's only going to increase your risk of getting other diseases and illnesses, your situation worse. I did everything naturally. I went ahead and I went and found out what was the underlying cause of my, what was going on in my body. I think a lot of women don't understand what's going on in their body. So I went and found that out. Second, I found out what were the underlying causes of the symptoms, and then I found that out. And then what I needed to do to address those underlying causes, because you know what? Medication is just a Band-Aid. It doesn't really get to the underlying cause. It's only going to increase your risk of further health issues. So I didn't want that for myself and my body. So I wanted to get to the root cause of it. And that's as a holistic wellness coach, that's my mission, to get to the root cause of why someone is experiencing these issues. And I did that and found that out for perimenopause and menopausal women to help them get to the root cause and deal with it naturally versus using medication. The only thing I know that doctors recommend is HRT, but I know that back in a study in 2002, there were not good results from the HRT. Women were starting to experiencing a lot of health conditions based on taking HRT medication. So when it concerns women that are smoking and the alcohol, well, you know, it really comes down to what it's to your health. And ultimately, the responsibility of our health is ourselves. We have to be responsible for it. Otherwise, you know, then you know what that means. The consequences we're going to reap the consequences of our inaction. And if we want to feel better and if we want to transform our well-being, then we would make the necessary adjustments that we need to, because granted, once you start transitioning, your current lifestyle that you've been doing, the alcohol, the smoking and whatnot, or that no longer is going to serve you because your body is just going to get more erratic. It's just going to start malfunctioning and you're just going to feel worse. You know, changing to a new, more healthier, holistic lifestyle so you can start finding relief and experiencing transformation in your health and well-being. So it's necessary. It really boils down to the person wanting to see if they want to feel good or not.
So instead of medication, you just did research, right? And that's where you got all your information.
I did research and I became a guinea pig. I was a guinea pig and I had tried. Yeah, I tried all the natural strategies that I currently offer in my group coaching program. And all these natural strategies that helped me overcome my symptoms, lose the hormonal weight, feel amazing, turn my situation around completely. Because believe me, you feel that your body is, you're in an alien body. You feel like, oh my God, what's going on? My body's out of control. So I wanted to know what is happening. So I found out And then I went and searched for natural underlying causes and researched functional medicine doctors. I did not go with the current medical industry because, again, medication is just a Band-Aid, and it really just opens you up for more health issues. I went to functional medicine doctors. I even entered a program to learn about hormones, my body, how to help my body along, and applied these strategies, did this program, and I was able to turn my health and well-being around. I feel amazing, and I'm not suffering through that as many women suffer for years with these symptoms.
Well, you know, that's interesting. So do you want to give us some tips?
Well, yeah, I would definitely like to give you some tips, but I would like to also talk about the underlying causes and what's happening, because the tips are, you know, without giving you that information, it's not going to, you're not going to understand why you need to do this. So would it be okay if I do that?
Oh, sure.
Talk to you about, would it be okay? But I did mention about statistics, so let me give you a little bit about the statistics, and then I'll go through the what's happening in the body, what's the underlying causes, and then the tips that I can provide that are fundamental that every woman should begin with, because without that, there's not going to be much relief, because it's not getting to the underlying cause, and these tips is getting to the underlying cause. So statistics show corporate wellness reported in 2020, 75% of women would be affected by menopause, and it keeps rising. So that means that more than 66% experience symptoms such as brain fog and fatigue, which is what I experienced, right? 98% experience hot flashes every day, and 48% did not know how to manage the symptoms and found it difficult. 33% reported that it affected their work performance. But in a more recent study called the State of Menopause Study, done on 1,039 women, conducted by Bonafide U.S. study in 2021, indicated 73% were not treating their symptoms. And female founders Fund survey done in 2020 found 78% of the women found that this interfered with their life. And that's definitely what happened to me. It interfered with my work performance and my daily life. Forbes estimated in 2021 that by 2025, the year 2025, 1.1 billion women are going to be in menopause. That's staggering. And it's important to understand that, because the outcome of that is that in another study that was conducted, many women do not climb the corporate ladder. Many women decide not to pursue their career because it does affect your work performance. It really debilitates you. And in the UK, 70% of women did not pursue going back to work or climb the corporate ladder, mainly hide their symptoms. They fear negative impact, because this is a stigma as well in the corporate world to talk about this phase of a woman's life. So 90% of women, sadly, are not prepared for this transition. Hence why I'm in the mission of getting on podcasts and on shows just as short like yours, Jenny, to help spread the message, let's be prepared for this transition. Know what's going to happen. Know what you need to do and know what the underlying causes are so you can be better prepared, because, you know, 90% of 1.1 billion women not being prepared by 2025, that's staggering. So Okay. Just wanted to mention that, because it's very important that we have the statistics. So what's happening in the body, just like you mentioned, our reproductive system decided to say, hey, that's it. I'm not producing any more eggs. And it's handing off the production of the sex hormones to the adrenals. The adrenals now is in charge of producing the sex hormones. But what's happening is the adrenals is part of the HPA axis, and the HPA axis stands for hypothalamus, pituitary, and the adrenal glands. And this is, think of this as your hormone central system in the body, right? It's a neuroendocrine system, meaning it deals with both the brain and the hormones. And these organs are always in constant communication. There's a feedback and interactive loop regulating the body processes, like the stress, digestion, our heart, our immune system, our mood, emotion, sexuality, and our central nervous system. HPA axis is like the command center, I call it. So what happens is when the brain perceives that there's an incoming threat, the body gets into the state of survival, right? It gets into the fight or flight response. So it triggers the HPA axis to start secreting hormones, and the adrenal secretes cortisol in response to this fight or flight. So the more stress you feel, the more cortisol your adrenals are going to produce. But what happens, and cortisol is not bad because then the parasympathetic system can come in and calm us down. The problem is when we don't calm down and we don't give the parasympathetic system a chance to calm down, then that means that the adrenals is in a constant state of cortisol production. And that can cause for the HPA axis to become dysfunctional, which means that if you're a woman always on a fight or flight state, your lifestyle is overwhelmed, living over the edge, exhausted, poor diet choices, caffeine, sugar, emotionally responsive, like you're reactive, you pile more on your plate, your body is just going to keep producing more and more cortisol. And this HPA axis becomes dysfunctional. And then that loop is not going to work properly, which means your adrenals then become overloaded, and it leads to adrenal fatigue. In addition to that, your liver becomes congested. Like I said, it's our body that is integrated all together. So your liver, when there's a whole bunch of cortisol being produced, cannot metabolize it because it's too congested. There's a whole bunch of organs that are in the same boat when we're under a lot of stress, and liver is one of them. So adrenal fatigue is what I mentioned before, the insomnia, the severe fatigue, brain fog. Those are classic symptoms. Inability, you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep. That's a classic symptom of adrenal fatigue. And 66% of the population of women experience this. There's the anxiety, depression, the craving of certain foods, the weight gain, unexplained blood sugar problems. Here we go with the insulin resistant, the low libido, because this is your main command center and now it's not functioning properly. So your whole body is out of whack and everything is interconnected in our body. What's not working in one area impacts another. So you have this command center dysfunctioning due to the amount of stress, your lifestyle, and then this leads to all these symptoms. That's one of the reasons, right? There's also a hormone hierarchy. So, okay, some women tend to say, I want to balance estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. Okay, but you can't do that unless you manage the other three hormones that are above it. So think about this hormone hierarchy like a CEO. You have your CEO level. You have your senior vice president level, you got your vice president level, and then you got your directors. Your directors are your sex hormone, but your CEO and your senior vice president and vice president, they need to be in balance before you can even tell the directors to balance themselves out, because otherwise it's not going to happen. And those the estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, which are your directors, need for oxytocin, CEO, your senior vice president, which is cortisol, and insulin, which is your vice president, to be in balance. And this is another reason why women cannot lose the weight, because if cortisol is high, again, your HPA axis, your adrenals is producing cortisol because your lifestyle, you're constantly stressed, you're overwhelmed, you're on the go, go, go. Cortisol is just being pumped out by the adrenals. So guess what? Cortisol is going to be high. Insulin is going to be high. And insulin is your fat-storing hormone. So hence the unexplained gait wane, the gain, weight gain, the our inability to lose the weight, because the underlying cause is that we're constantly under stress and our body is responding to that. We're not giving our body the chance. So there's that hormone hierarchy that comes into play along with the HPA axis. There is also high toxic load, one of the major culprits. We have toxins everywhere, right? They cause disease, inflammation to our body. High toxic load really is causes a lot of issues for our body because it accumulates in different parts of the body and eliminated by the liver. But let's talk about where they reside. Some of these toxins is in our brain where the HPA, where the hypothalamus is. And that area, and the hypothalamus is part of the HPA axis, that area is not protected. It does not have a barrier to protect us from toxic. So it's prone to high toxic load, hence why there's a lot of toxicity in the body. But toxins cause inflammation. They damage our DNA, affects our estrogen level, and it causes metabolic disorders like diabetes and obesity. And you have toxins in our environment, in our food, our skin, home products, skin products that we wear, PBA plastic food containers and water bottles, even the coffee cup lids that have PBA. You're drinking and ingesting PBA into your body. That's toxins. And I'll tell you why that's important, Jenny. We have 72 trillion mitochondria, which is our cells. And those cells, toxins cause cellular inflammation. And what happens is when toxins are in our cells, it surrounds the membrane of the cell and it becomes rigid. It becomes really hard. So what happens? Nothing can get in. So the adrenals, the little bit of sex hormones that it can produce, because now the baton has to. Hence why we can't, the chaos with the hormones, another reason why. And then toxins cannot get out either. So we have to get to the root cause, and that's at a cellular level. And one of the major culprits alongside with stress is toxicity. And toxins is in our foods, right? Because when we go out to eat or we're using toxic oils that are not good, that cause inflammation. In restaurants, our current agricultural practices is food, the crops are heavily sprayed with chemicals and pesticides, and we're ingesting that. You have to make sure you try to buy organic as much as possible. Right, and then just the skincare products and the makeup that we use that cause toxicity, prescriptions such as mercury for hypertension, that's also toxic. There's mold, right? And there's, of course, the added hormones and foods, the preservatives. It's a lot of things. Our drinking water can contain heavy metals. So toxicity is another issue. And then, that affects major organs like our brain, our liver's major in our body health and well-being, because it's just where everything is passed through to metabolize or to, you know, clean, release toxins from the body. Our gut, our adrenals, which I just mentioned, and our thyroid, our the five major organs in our body that need to have focus on healing and detoxing. And of course, then the other role, the other issue that is causing is your diet. If you have a diet that is high in sugars and pastas and bread, simple carbs that spike your insulin level, where you store more fat, toxic oils, alcohol, sugary drinks, soda, frozen fast food, junk food, white flour, if that's your diet, you're definitely going to have a lot of issues. So those are your culprits. In summary, it's, you know, the passing of the baton, the toxins in the body and your main organs, the brain, the liver, your adrenals, their cellular inflammation, your mitochondria are inflamed with the toxins in the body, the stress that's happening in the HPA axis, the cortisol being produced, the adrenal fatigue that can come out of that. You have a congested liver that is not able to metabolize cortisol or release toxins because it's sluggish, it's congested. If you have your diet consists of these refined carbs and simple carbs and bad food, junk food, you're going to be insulin resistant because the standard American diet consists of 63% of these refined carbs and only 12% of plant-based food, which is not enough. So you have your insulin resistant. You're not able to lose weight, so you're storing fat. The reason why women are gaining weight. And then there's leptin resistant because if you're gaining fat, that means your leptin hormone level is high, means that your body cannot burn fat. Your leptin hormone burns fat. So it's not able to do so because you're insulin resistant. So the brain is getting a weak signal. So that all boils down to your lifestyle and diet, Jenny. Yeah. Sorry.
You know what?
I went off on there.
That's okay. We're going to take a short commercial and we'll be right back.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literacations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
I was saying that we don't get a lot of information like that. Speaking of women, because you have a lot of information. Now, do you go out and talk about this to women?
Oh, absolutely. That's my mission, Jenny. That's why I'm tapping in. I was just interviewed in Veganish and All Things Healthy podcast. There's another podcast episode that I was interviewed to, and I'm tapping into organizations to bring this information to as well. I'm tapping into HR departments because it's my goal to open up a space for women in the corporate world to have the space available and support and for education purpose as well. Yes, that's my mission, Jenny. I'm just starting out. I'm just getting my foot in the water.
Okay, but that you have a lot of information, and I never would have put each one thing with the other. You know what I'm saying? If you're going through that, I wouldn't think that I'm drinking a glass of milk. You know what I'm saying? Just to give you an example.
Yeah.
But there are women that don't go through all of these hot flashes and they don't have mood changes. I mean, how does that work? I'm sorry?
They're blessed. I would say that's all that's their body, that's their DNA. They're an exception to the rule, right? The majority of women are going to go through this. If the other women are not going through that, that's DNA, that's family history. Could be that they've had I haven't looked into that portion of as to why. That's another area that I would like to tap into as to why these women. I want to see if there's studies done on that. But I would think from an educated guess, it most likely their lifestyle, their eating habits, their DNA, a combination of all these factors that I just mentioned that helps them not to experience all these things. It doesn't necessarily mean that everyone is going to have it, but it definitely their lifestyle and eating habits contributes to it.
Well, I didn't want to mention it, but I didn't go through that.
No, that's awesome. You're not the first person I met.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have hot flashes, and I didn't have to wake up and change my, sleeping clothes. I didn't have to do any of that. The weight gain, I can say something about that. But night sweats and all of that, no. And I thank God I didn't have to go through that. Because I've heard some bad stories about it.
I just believe
that a lot of us don't understand that A connects to B.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I want to be out there.
Yeah, you need to get out there.
Yes, I do, Jenny, I do. I want to. I'm trying to.
Okay, well, if I know somebody, I'm going to call you back again.
Yes.
I'm telling you
absolutely.
Because all of that information, one thing connects to the other thing.
Yes.
We don't know that.
No, that's exactly why. I wish I knew that, Jenny, when I was going through my transition. And when the doctor told me, you know, because the medical doctors are not, they're not trained in this. They're not trained in menopause. They don't know this space. They didn't go to medical school. They didn't teach them that in medical school. So naturally they're going to give you medication, which is what they give you, a Band-Aid, but that is not really going to help you. And I needed to know and understand what the heck is going on with my body and what's causing it. So I went out and did all this research. I tapped into, like I said, all these doctors, rabbit holes. I went down so many, and I put it all together, and it's like, oh, this is what's going on. Our wow. body is intelligent. It's a miracle, and it works yes. together.
Yes, but yeah. I guarantee you we don't know that. We don't know
yeah.
about that. And when you connected the dementia and the Alzheimer's, that's really kind of sort of. But, you know, I guess we know that part because of the food we eat. Maybe
mm-hmm.
that has something to do with that. But I tell
yeah.
you, all of that other is really, I'm sure a lot of ladies after they started menopause and gained weight and didn't, you know, connect it. So
No. And it's sad. And I'm in a lot of forums listening to women, and I have to be very careful, especially in Facebook, because admins don't like for you to help them. You can't really say what's going on. You have to be very careful there, or they will kick you out. I'd be happy to say that I've been kicked out of two groups because I've just been trying to help women.
But
you know,
that's
I've been
too bad.
To help women.
That's sad. That's really sad.
It is sad. The mentality that, you know, these admin has, hey, if you're really in the business of helping women, then why don't you let women help women that know what's going on that could help them? But they're not in that business, and it's sad, and it's like, you know, it's unfortunate. So, you know, I've had to, you know, pivot and change and come on podcasts and other groups that are open to listening and helping women. So, yeah, I've been featured in several podcasts. I was featured in the Live Well, Big Dream Holistic Wellness podcast and on the guide to ultimate, can't remember the name right now. Let's see. I've been featured in the Holistic Wellness Guide. That's the Live Well, Big Dream. That's the International Association of Wellness Professional, where I got my certification. They featured me in the Ultimate Guide to Becoming Your Best Self and Living Life on Your Own Terms, as a holistic wellness coach, living on her own terms and what health meant to me and stuff like that. But
that's
a
good thing.
Newsletter. Yes. And, you know, the IAWP is where it all started for me, and we're on a mission to just help people, men, women. Each person has their specialty. My specialty is helping women in perimenopause and menopause, but there's the wellness professional that IAWP is just really making a difference in the world and the lives of others, and bringing them the information and the knowledge and the tools they need to better their well-being. I mean, that's really our focus.
Well, that's a good focus, and I'm glad you're on it, because we just need to know this. Yes, I'm serious, and we need to know this information. And I would love for you to come back, if you don't mind.
I wouldn't mind coming back at all. I just know that I wanted to ask you, do you want me to give you the three tips to start with at least? I know you asked me that,
absolutely.
And I didn't want to
answer
without, yeah, I don't want to leave that open. I want you to, you know, to definitely have that for you and your listeners. And it applies to everyone, man or woman, because it's really targeting your well-being. And these are fundamentals, because if you don't do this, you're not getting to the underlying cause, right? You're always going to be scratching the surface. And you may find temporary relief, but it's not going to be sustainable. And you want to make sure that when you do something, it's going to be at the root cause and that it's going to be sustainable. So I always, it takes a holistic approach. To be honest, this is all about changing your lifestyle. Again, what the current lifestyle you had will no longer serve you. Specifically, if you're reaching midlife and 50s, menopause, you have to change because your body is changing. You have to give your body the support it needs. So I know that in my program, I target 12 areas of our health, a holistic approach for women that join my program, and we target these 12 areas. I'm more than happy to, you know, whoever's interested, can reach out to me. I can offer, you know, we can have a free 30-minute discovery call, or Jenny, for your audience, there's a free ebook that they can download if they're interested that I can offer for free with all the information I provided to you today.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to give you, the one that I have now, the information that I spoke about today is in my free ebook. So if you want, you can give the locate where they can download that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's very important. Yeah, it's very important because the cost of inaction, Jenny, is to continue to struggle with these symptoms, right? The daily chaos for those that are not blessed like you, Jenny.
Okay.
You suffer through you continue to suffer through burnout, frustration, health breakdown, work performance issues, you know, not climbing the corporate ladder. Your career can be affected. Chronic diseases, of course, like I mentioned before, you're dealing with depression, anxiety, you know, insomnia, not feeling yourself, and, you know, your marriage can take a hit. But my top three tips, which is on my, all this information is in my free ebook, is the first thing you want to start doing is to reduce toxicity and inflammation in the body. The benefit of detoxing is that you release toxins in the body and your organs. You reduce inflammation. You reduce heavy toxic load that's causing depression and anxiety, chronic pain, hair loss, brain fog, hyper or hypothyroidism, autoimmune conditions, cellular health. You know, you have to really start detoxing your body. And it's not just doing a regular smoothie here and there. There is a deeper detox, and the one that has been known, numerous of studies have come out. Of course, you do a combination of this particular, it's your body's own capability of healing and repairing its cells, and that's through fasting. Fasting is fantastic. The Journal of Medicine and Science is coming out with how beneficial it is for every human being, specifically for women going through menopause and perimenopause. It's shown incredible benefits. But, you know, fasting brings down inflammation. It detoxes at the cellular level, right? It helps with weight loss and improves your metabolic function. It generates new stem cells for your intestines and, you know, immune system. There's different type of fast that you do that helps you with that. It delays aging. It returns mental clarity. Your memory and your focus are crisp and clear. Fasting generates ketones to repair the brain, so that protects you against Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease. You know, fasting has been amazing. So human growth hormones, that is necessary, that's the reproduction of cells, that starts to decline in our 30s. Fasting increases that. By I don't know what was the percentage. I think it's 500%. It increases the human growth hormone, the production of cells. Like, not do that? I mean, yes, I think that it's a percentage like that. And you know, this is new cells in your body. Your body's generating. Your body is a miracle. It's just people don't know it, right? And with a 3-day water fast, you totally reset your immune system completely. Completely
so,
new self.
So what you're saying is just no food, only water?
Yeah, there's different type of fast, but yeah, with the there is water fasting. There's water and black coffee with no cream, no sugar, and tea. That's all you can have. But you got to know how to start it, because you got to know, you got want to make sure you start slow and how to increase it and what to take during fasting, because if you just jump into it, forget it. Your body's not
right.
going to. You're not gonna get through it. It's like building a muscle, Jenny. You know what I mean? You have to really give your condition your body for it. I've been an intermittent faster. This is one of my key. This is what one. You asked me what I did. This is what the first thing I did. I started fasting, and as soon as I started fasting, in 6 weeks, I started seeing results in my well-being being transformed completely, and in those symptoms.
You fasted for six weeks.
Oh, my God, no. I've been intermittent fasting since 2019. I intermittent fast every day for 16,
wow.
18 hours. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I build up that. I build that up slowly, you know. I built that up slowly. But intermittent fasting is a great way to do that, along with natural supplements like cholera. It detoxes heavy metal. Bind as well, and there's a whole bunch of detox smoothies that you drink to start detoxing and getting your liver healthy and getting your body organs released of all the junk it has in there, getting the liver decongested. Fasting is my number one recommended, and functional medicine doctors are recommending that. And, of course, science is now backing it up. There's a lot of studies backing that up. Tip number
two.
Well,
most of the time when I'm fasting, I do like maybe I don't eat meat. Is
okay.
that good? Or, you know,
well,
like for...
fasting.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, well, fasting really is abstaining from food.
Okay. Carbs and fat.
It really is for you to see benefit. It really is just water, black coffee, and tea. And then, you know, of course, there's some, if you're doing extended fast, you can, of course, you can do your electrolytes, your minerals to help you extend it. And there is such a thing as that I use when I do my long fast. I put MCT oil in my coffee or coconut oil, and that helps to extend the fat longer. But, you know, abstaining from meat alone is not going to be beneficial. You're not fasting at that point. It's really just giving your body just abstaining from food off completely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean,
okay.
there is a fact there, Jenny, that has been done by Walter Longo, and he called it the fast mimicking, and he was the founder of that. And that fast is for people. He did a study, I believe, for people that were patients. And I don't know what type of patients. I'm not sure if it was cancer. That's one of the books that I want to read to learn more in depth of what he did. But I do know that he gave it popularity of the fast mimicking. And for people that don't want to fast because they don't want to stop eating, there is a way to generate new stem cells. And that's, you know, reducing your calories and having certain amount of protein and carbs. So there is a form of it that imitates fasting, but that depends on, you know, the patient, what is the condition, and that's what I'm not privy to at the moment, what he did it for. But anyway, there are different types of fast that you can do that can help, you know?
Okay.
So that's my number one tip, reducing toxicity and inflammation, because that helps with the chaos in the body. Managing stress is tip number two, because like I said, if your command center, your HPA axis, along with, you know, cortisol and your other hormones, which is cortisol and insulin, are going haywire, then, you know, you're going to keep storing fat. You're not going to lose the weight, which is why I couldn't understand, oh, my God, I'm working out. I'm hardly eating. Why am I not losing the weight? Well, of course, I was under stress for 2 years, and my body was like, it's not happening, because I'm not worried about you losing weight. I'm worried about helping you survive, because that's what the fight or flight response does. You know, it's like, I'm going to protect you. I'm not thinking about anything else. I want to be prepared for what's going on. And that's what stress does to the body. Stress is so destructive, it's unbelievable. That's tip number two. You got to manage stress. And, of course, you got to do stress management. Of course, you know, take time to rest. Increase your oxytocin level, which is your CEO of one of your CEO hormones, which is your love hormone. Laugh more, hug more, practice gratitude, engage in joyful activities, watch comedy movies, laugh, get 8 hugs a day from loved ones or your pet. If you don't have a pet, get a pet, a massage, participate in community. You know, I love those massages. Participate in community or group, right? Serve others, whatever, you know. I used to do my meditation, my yoga was my go-to, crocheting was my music and dance. Those were my things to reduce stress, and it's very important we manage stress, and we live in a world that is just go, go, go 24/7 if possible. And my last tip, which are the top three, because these are fundamental to begin with, because, again, if you just go straight to your sex, to the directors, your main sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, and try to balance them out, it's not going to happen if all the other things are crazy. So you got to bring your body into balance with these things, toxicity, bringing down inflammation, managing stress, and the last one, and the most, the important one, they're all important, is, of course, embrace a healthier eating lifestyle. Reduce, you know, doing so will help to reduce cellular inflammation, because some food cause inflammation. And you will get more mental clarity. You'll get energy. It'll minimize the hot flashes and the night sweats. You'll start balancing hormones with food. You'll start losing weight. And, of course, you age gracefully with more joy and peace, which is my ultimate. I want to age gracefully. So you got to target your nutrition, clean eating, non-GMO, nothing that's genetically modified, organic wherever possible, wholesome foods that you pluck out of the ground, low carbs so you won't spike your sugar level, lots of greens and veggies, your complex carbs, grass-fed meats, oils, your seeds and nuts, fermented food for your gut. You got to feed your good gut bacteria, because believe me, that also factors into the chaos that happens in our body. Prebiotic, probiotic food, polyphenol foods. Be selective with dairy, because dairy contains hormones, which is why I said about the milk. And
okay.
So yeah, those are my top three tips, Jenny. I hope that was so, I hope that was valuable. And again, these are in my
fantastic
ebook. Interesting.
Yes, that was fantastic. But let me ask you this before you go. What about if you fast no food? Maybe every Monday in a month. Is that okay? I mean,
well, yeah,
if you just wanted to clear your body out, just maybe every Monday, no food, and just giving your body a time to, you know, get itself together.
That's called the OMAD, one meal a day. You can have in 24 hours one meal. And that's actually suggested once to be done once every week to help your body. Absolutely. That will be very great to start. Just have one meal a day. And that's a 24-hour fast. Yes, that would be perfect. Yeah, you can start with that as well. Mm-hmm. You can start with alternate fasting. One day you're fed, you're not. I mean, a lot of people have seen results with that too.
Okay. I just want my all of my organs and stuff, I want them to be new.
Yes, girl. That's what we want.
Yes.
We definitely want that.
Listen, I have enjoyed you. I really, really have.
Oh,
and,
thank you. Me
oh,
too.
Yes.
I'm
oh,
happy.
Yes.
And, I'm passionate.
but I'm asking that you come again.
Yeah, absolutely. Just reach out to me. You know where to reach me. Yeah, and
yeah. You
can yeah, you know, whenever where we can schedule that, I would be happy to. And if you want to download the ebook, you can go to my website, which is radiantwellnessco.com, rebalancing-hormones, and you can download the book there, and that'll give you most of the information that I have here. If you want, I could send it to your email so you can have more of the actual address if you want me to do so.
Okay, I'll call you.
Okay, no problem.
Okay. So
Thank you, Jenny, for having me.
Oh, I appreciate this. This is so, you know, really good information. And
yeah.
I really appreciate you for, you know, coming and talking to us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be able to, you know, from my experience and what my health breakdown, to be able to be a blessing for others so they can prevent a health breakdown.
Yeah. Yeah. So your last comment before you go?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
My
that
last
was
comment.
It, huh? That
oh,
was
what,
it.
Oh, what's
huh?
my last comment? Oh, no. I have a last comment. I definitely do. I totally believe that in life we're going to go through transitions. And those transitions, they're going to be natural. And we need to be able to not fight against it, but instead go with it and be able to learn from those transitions to be able to reach your higher potentials as an individual, because those transitions in our life are the ones that are going to take us to a different level, whether
yeah.
it's in our health, in our relationships, in our careers. But transitions, we have to look at transitions as natural and giving us the ability to build resiliency and not something as negative in our lives. So That's what transitions mean to me.
Okay, Dr. Franco.
Oh, no, I wish.
Okay, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate you, and I have really enjoyed you. And I know my listeners have as well. And I'm going to leave you now. And
thank you, Jenny.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. This has
You're
been
welcome.
Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Good night. Have a good weekend, everybody. Goodbye.